going on, everybody? Welcome to Fight Network's downtown studios. This is Five Rounds. I know you might be ticked off. We weren't around on Monday. Wasn't feeling the best, so I couldn't come in to do the show. But we're going to talk about BJ Penn as he's set to make his long-awaited, highly anticipated return to the Octagon. But first things first, Fighters Only magazine had their nominations for the MMA Awards. Our very own Robin Black nominated for Analyst of the Year. Not only should he be nominated, the motherfucker should win this award. He is smoking everybody else on the planet when it comes to analysis and breakdown. In my opinion, the only person that's coming even close is Dominic Cruz. Dan Hardy, you do a great job, and we love Chael Sonnen and Brian Stann, but you're the fucking man.
Thanks, man. That's really nice. It is a really neat thing. It really is. Like, at first, I know I told you this yesterday. At first, I was just like, it was like, wow, neat. I'm getting a lot of tweets. And then you feel kind of awkward and stuff because, it's strange. People sort of say things all the time. You hear, it's just nice to be nominated. I respect all these guys. They're all just such an honor to be. But then that's sort of true.
Yeah.
So
right.
they kind of say it because it's sort of true.
Well, because you're so respected by your peers. Like, we have the chance to go to different events. And, you know, I'm going to be honest. Like, when you see all the different members of the media, and I don't really consider us to be the members of the media in that way.
We do a different job, I think.
So, like, to see the athletes and the coaches come up and give you props for the work and the fact that you're trying to educate the masses and to try to help us get a better understanding of this incredible sport. And I know it depends on how you look at it. I know John Kavanaugh recently said that it's not really arts, that mixed martial arts is not arts.
He said that?
In response to Meryl Streep's
he
said, this is a sport. This is not.
I disagree with John. Yeah. And this, I rarely disagree with John Kavanaugh. So that's nice. It's fun to be. I think it is. I mean, if you look at the essence of what an art is, I mean, let's pull it up quick. Pull up art definition and read that to me. But when, art deniers.
Short form of Arthur. Said.
not having that one. Art deniers have always existed.
Yeah,
and like they don't like Arthur.
I don't believe in those.
They
people.
Said jazz wasn't art.
I don't believe in those.
They said
people.
Jazz wasn't art.
Yeah, I don't
they
subscribe
said punk
to
rock
those.
Wasn't art.
Yeah, these people are
like,
who are these people?
I don't know. Meryl Streep is an artist, right? And she's very well respected. And
not by me anymore.
No,
and I was
that's
a fan.
Weird, right? That is weird.
I
she really
fan.
Did.
She didn't do
us.
Her research. She
no,
didn't do
she
her research. She said that, if you, the whole immigrant thing, that's insane because you look at how diverse mixed martial arts is. I was going through just Canada, the U.S., Brazil, England, Ireland, Sweden.
The Congo.
Too many countries involved.
Yeah.
And just the diversity. And somebody pointed out the women's champion is a lesbian from Brazil.
Amazing. So, okay, let's before you give me the definition, I'm going to say something else about that. And I wasn't offended as much as a lot of my friends were. And oddly, but it was just like, I didn't look at it and go, what a bitch. Like, I literally was like, she doesn't know.
I just shook
and
my head.
She also doesn't, what you don't know is, she may feel some revulsion, like repellent. Like,
when
disgust.
She watches it. Yeah. When she
she's probably never watched it, but her idea of it.
But as soon as she sees it, like my mom is one of those people that it's like, as soon as that type of violence, it's like, oh my God.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes. And that disgust and repellent, it's a repellent and it's her disdain and, and hate. People feel that way about a lot of different art. There's a lot of art people feel that way about. Punk rock had that result.
Because it's
Led
grimy.
Zeppelin.
Yeah.
You know, these brilliant artists, and this is not art. So, I mean, that response is indicative of art often.
Can I give you the definition? The definition, the expression or application of human creative skill and imagination, typically in a visual form such as painting or sculpture. Typically in a visual form as a painting or sculpture.
Go on,
think
there's
about
probably
art,
further description.
Producing works to be appreciated primarily for their beauty or emotional power.
That right there.
Right there.
You have defined art.
Yeah.
Mic drop, bitches, say it again, last one?
I know, the last part is producing works to be appreciated primarily for their beauty or emotional power. And I think of when I was there live to watch Rory McDonald and Robbie Lawler 2, the way that I felt after seeing these guys do, like, it's just a feel like you almost wanted to cry.
Yeah, that's how I felt when Duho Choi and Cub Swanson fought. I almost want to cry right now.
Just the level of the flowing creativity and I know maybe if you've never been involved in that type of thing, you might not be able to associate the artistry with it. But if you do, I mean, I can't paint worth shit. Like if you gave me a brush, like I don't know how to do that thing on the canvas, but I can certainly appreciate that because I know what it would take for somebody. The lines are cool and this and that. And I also have tattoos and you have tattoos. So I appreciate art in all forms. You would imagine an artist like Meryl Streep you would expect that she would be able to see art in a different way.
I was surprised. I was actually oddly watching it. We were coming home. I took my wife to Vegas for
Christmas.
That's
the Golden Globes? Is that what it was?
Yes. Yeah. And my wife watches all that kind of stuff because she's an artist. She's an actor and a singer. And we were getting ready to go to the airport and I was watching that. And I looked at that. And at first, that's so weird. But she's become a bit of an art snob. And that's not a criticism. She is a great artist. She just has a very closed view of what art is. It's
weird.
Very weird.
So, like, I'm sure if we look at her body of work, didn't she make that movie like The Devil Wears Prada, lowbrow comedy? That's art? So should we start pointing the finger? How about we look at your body of work and say which is art and which is just you did this for the money?
Yeah, true. But I'll go a step further. I think gymnastics is art.
Of course.
Of course it is. It's physical art.
Yeah.
I mean, how could you deny that?
You're turning your body into art because, again, the only way that you're able to do those things is by sculpting your body.
Yeah. And dance, there's no doubt dance is art, right? So, I mean, if dance is art, then fighting is art. But I don't think she understands what fighting is.
She doesn't. She just thinks it's primal, swinging punches.
If she were to understand the level of artistry, the level of commitment to your craft and understanding
yourself.
But that's
everything, though. Like
it is
I can't stand on a podium and say, well, figure skating. Meanwhile, I know nothing about figure skating and you know, turn my nose up at it and say that it's something. Meanwhile, I have no background.
But see, she's just less self-aware than one would expect. Or it's just, I mean, even football is art. But let's face it, Chase at the board right now. This is art.
Of course.
To be able to manipulate these sounds. I mean, technology is art. When
you're, there's awards
when you're
for this
crafting,
stuff. Of course.
When you're crafting, whether it's a board, something physical, or an app, this is all art. So I feel a little bad for her that she's got these blinders that only acting and singing in the little corner that she's in is such a high art. But the rest of Chase on the board and the guy making the app and these two brilliant artists that are competing, it's just a ballet.
That's what she's been taught. I think that's what society's been taught, that art is a certain thing instead of the idea that, you know, it's growing. Again, growing up, I don't think anybody thought that video games would be considered art.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure.
There's no doubt. When you see the sweeping landscape of Fallout and you see the world has been burned and all these, that's art for sure. But I think this is art. Mm-hmm. So, and I mean, I'm a huge Andy Warhol fan, as you know, right? I went to the Andy Warhol Museum. When I got two Bruce Lees tattooed on me, I did consider a Bruce Lee and
that's
an Andy
so
Warhol,
cool.
which would be a very strange dichotomy. But Andy Warhol understood. Show me your glasses.
Yeah.
An artist made those.
Yeah.
You know, an artist made those. Yeah. Everything we do is art. And what we're looking to do in our life is find our art. I mean,
I feel bad for people that can't ever find that.
I do too.
That don't have any type of art in their life.
But everything is art, and if you see it as art, and if you go and you work for the city and you're building something, there is an outline of how to build it, but it's art. You know, and it's all art, and our life is art.
Sure, but if you're cleaning out the shitter, I don't know how many people would consider that. You know, this is the beauty and putting this snake down this thing, and the way the feces erupts out of the clog.
You can. You can see that as art. You can.
I don't know if I'd be hanging out with those people.
They'd be weird people, but they might be interesting people. You know, what you're looking to do, so, and you mentioned that these guys put me up for an award. And I was like, "Why? Like, what's going on here?" And I know the difference. What I'm doing slightly different is that I apply and see meaning in fights. I see true artistic meaning in the fight, and I'm in love with combat and the combat.
And you see outside the box, though.
Yeah, and that's what Brendan Schaub said the other day. That was very nice. But that is, in looking at something, you can do that. And the reason I brought that up is, there, if somebody was snaking a thing, and you can see there's beauty and meaning in everything. And you just got to find the thing that you find that in. Some people make leather things, and to them, that is the fucking art of all art.
I get it. I guess the plumber that snakes says, you know what? I've done my gig. Yeah. This family can take a shit in peace.
That's right. That's right.
I just feel...
Yeah. And it's true. So that is an outcome of it. But when you are finding your love of something, which is what we do and what we're doing right now, when you find your love of something, you can go further with it.
Yeah.
You learn, you take a different perspective. You look at it far away and very close, and in a big, broad way and in a very small way. And so somebody who runs electricity in a house over time can be the guy who makes a custom house, the guy who eventually your phone can run your tap from whatever. There, you can take it further. And that's what we do. And when the thing that started this conversation was your compliment about that awards thing, which the awards thing itself, is there anybody better? Is Dan better than Brian Stan?
Yeah,
it's just everybody's
making
it.
Yeah.
But the fact that anybody, I'm just sitting here trying to find deeper and more interesting meaning and apply it to things. The fact that anybody thought that was good enough to say, hey, you should come to Las Vegas and wear a suit and stand there and clap when Brian Stan wins, that's pretty fucking cool. And it really, you know, you have different things. Even really positive people, you have days that go up and down. And that one gave me a little boost. It really did.
Brian Stan's not winning. Go online, vote for my main man, Robin Black. He's going to win this Analyst of the Year award because he deserves it. And we're talking about creativity and beauty. We're going to talk about this fight card that's going down Sunday night, Phoenix, Arizona. When you talk about artists and creativity and beauty, there are very few fighters, in my opinion, that have displayed the type of art that BJ Penn has displayed throughout his mixed martial arts career. Many people look at BJ Penn just at his overall skill set as the perfect mixed martial arts fighter. His tenacity, his durability and toughness, his supple skills in stand-up and wrestling and jiu-jitsu, and his ability to bridge the gaps in between everything and constantly innovating throughout his time. But people feel that this is now the new age of the prospect. Cody Garbrandt was not supposed to beat Dominic Cruz.
Well, he was supposed to.
Sure.
We just didn't know
it. Sure, yeah.
We didn't know it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I don't think we were waiting for because the last time we were at. And we're going to talk about TKO, TKO 37, going down Friday night in Montreal at La Tohu. Tickets still available. Robin and I are going to be there doing the broadcast live. It's the birthplace of George St. Pierre. And the last time we were there, we were talking to a bunch of different coaches about all these different coaches are telling
great
us.
Great ones.
We got the next big thing. Nobody's doing what this guy's doing.
Yeah.
And another coach, a former TKO champion saying, I'm staying out of this division because this kid is the future.
Different kid.
The future is right now, and they're friggin' everywhere. These youngsters with zero experience, 2 and 3 fights, they're worthy to go into the Ultimate Fighting Championship. Right now, it's a very, very good time. So that's what has me scared about this fight with Yair Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Is it the time where the old guard, they're not going to exist after the next year or two?
These are the things that fascinate us. And this is where Bruce Lee ties into Andy Warhol. Andy Warhol was the futurist. He could see where our behavior was going. And we're trying to see where this is going. And we're alert enough, and we're informed enough, and we're deep in it daily enough to be seeing this happen. And then you're asking yourself, how does it happen? Who invented the light bulb?
Edison. Or is it Tesla?
Let's say Edison, okay? How did Edison invent the light bulb? You know what he didn't do? Try to make a better and better and better candle.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so once that happened, that fucking light bulb is always a light bulb, and that candle is always still a candle. The difference with a human being is they're not a thing forever. So if BJ Penn is a candle and Yair Rodriguez is a light bulb, unlike the candle and the light bulb, BJ Penn can become that thing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's why fighting is so fascinating. That's the human element. And first you have to accept and acknowledge, and Conor McGregor is somebody who talks about this a lot. It's really important to him as a person. What type of development humans are capable of. And whether we're talking about fighting and these young prospects that we're seeing, and if you check out TKO, if you have Fight Network, it's live on Fight Network. If you do not, it's live on Fight Pass.
UFC Fight Pass, yeah.
And you will see these little fucking light bulbs or whatever the next invention is, wherever that goes further. And it is shocking and it is fascinating. And but first you have to accept that human, when you're seeing this, and you're seeing it in tech, and you're seeing it in the flipping of motorcycles, and you're seeing it in the Olympics and everywhere, people are understanding that they're capable, the human mind and body is capable of further growth than we thought. And we're developing the ability to grow even more, faster and better. And coaches are developing the understanding of that. And so the whole thing shifts. It's not just somebody built a better candle or somebody has a better leg kick. The entire ability to perform is better. And it's real. And when you look at these, you nailed it. You described it exactly. And we're going to see it again this weekend. The one, when you look at this coach, and I try to explain to them, no, what you have is a reflection of what is happening now.
And your guy is special, though.
He's special. He's one of 20 in North America of this level.
Yeah.
And he'll be like, you don't understand. This is a different level. And I keep saying, no, you don't understand. You think because you've never seen anyone this good that this is unique. But that's what this coach over there in Cleveland thinks right now because they are growing. The technology, the art form, it's evolving. And we are lucky enough because of our job and what we get to do every day that we're going to spot this happen when it happens. This one is a big shift. When Rory McDonald was coming up, everybody was saying, you wait till you see these guys who are training everything. Well, now we're way past just training wrestling and kickboxing together. Now we're into innovation, and now we're into
the spaces in between.
Yeah, and understanding those and making complex
and attacking
systems
in those.
And layering what's happening with the mind and the body and the space and the speed and all of that is happening. It's happening so quickly that even our ability to describe it, when I watch myself describe it and others, feels dated. It feels stale. Because if we just say, you know, he's got to use his jab more, we are not paying true homage to the level of what's happening in there right now.
Yeah, and it's really fascinating. Again, the last time we were at TKO, we're seeing these guys that have one or two fights floating around, these Jourdain brothers.
Yeah, yeah.
But we'll talk about those guys in the future. For BJ Penn, this is a guy that has literally seen it all in mixed martial arts. You chart his UFC debut. Like, when we talk about fighters now, how Cody Garbrandt, Uriah Faber said, get to 5-0 and I'll get you into the UFC. So you need five fights. BJ Penn started his mixed martial arts career in the UFC May 4th, 2001, and went on a run defeating Joey Gilbert, our man Dean Thomas, Kyle Uno, and of course, Jens Pulveri had that loss.
Dean Thomas is up for Coach of the Year.
Yeah.
That's really, really cool.
Did I vote for him? I can't remember if I voted for him.
Yeah.
But throughout BJ's career, Matt Serra, Takanori Gomi, Matt Hughes, Dwayne Ludwig, Lyoto Machida, Enzo Gracie, George
How come Dwayne's not up for Coach of the Year?
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Joe Stevenson, Sean Sherk, Kenny Florian, Diego Sanchez, Frankie Edgar, John Fitch, Nick Diaz, Rory McDonald. When I look at that, it's not only has he been in there with those guys, he now has the information. He has the information to say, okay, I've been in every scenario. What can Yair Rodriguez possibly do? Now, none of those guys are that new age of fighter. Mm-hmm. What is it that Rodriguez can do? One of the things we've seen from him is he's very unpredictable. Mm-hmm. He's wild. Is it simply that he just has to attack? Now, he has been made to pay before in his third fight, stopped by KO, but that doesn't seem to stop him. He is just...
It's true. You're right. It doesn't stop him at all. I was just whipping up a keys to victory. And Shaughnessy, I said, just, you know, a lot of the Rodriguez keys to victory is be young and crazy. Lots and lots of numbers. So never one, two, three, four, five. And then color outside the lines. And those were the simple, for television, you
of
find
course.
A way,
yeah,
to, you know. And so Paul just put together a minute of odd, crazy, wild stuff. It's shocking when you put it all together.
How much he does
much he does that stuff. And when he wins that way. And when he loses, he's going to lose because of it. And it, if he loses to BJ, he will lose because of it. Because when a guy is spinning and he's rolling, and he's, you get in and you lock the body. And you take him down and you beat him up. And that's BJ's going to try to move towards him, and he's going to try to keep the space between them and come from all these different angles. And that's the right idea, because it's also what he is. If this guy, we're talking about art earlier, if this guy's a painter, he's grabbing, he's taking his hand, he's dipping it in colors, and he's throwing it. He's one of the, grabbing a little feces, like we were talking, throwing that on there, taking a knife and cutting the thing. That's his art. And at the end...
The Jackson Pollock type
exactly,
thing?
Exactly. And at the end, somebody's looking at that and going, wow, that's beautiful. You can feel the emotion, you can feel the passion. And what's her name, the actress?
Meryl.
And Meryl's looking at that going, that's not art. That is not art. I don't know what that is. It's all feces and it's cut up, and because she's repulsed by it.
She gives
but it's
no.
Art.
Yeah, she doesn't even think about it. That's
exactly,
why. Like
exactly.
As soon as it penetrates anywhere, and it's like, oh, get that away from me. I don't even want to
exactly
talk about
that. And people respond that way to. So, but he is. That's him. If he's a painter, he's whipping shit at it. He's cutting it up, and he's throwing things, and there's a block in the middle for no reason, and it's this random, compelling, overwhelming thing. And BJ, who is a, let's put him music instead of art. He's made a hip-hop record, and he's made a rock record,
and he is
a jazz player, and he's a classical guitar player. He's got to figure out, and he's a technical player. If he is that, he has to go in and be super technical and super smart, analytical, almost a little boring, and be the opposite of that thing.
I don't want to think of BJ Penn being boring.
Yeah, I mean... Boring to Meryl Streep.
Right.
Actually, no. Nice. That's better. He didn't. At least he didn't hurt.
Because I would
that.
Expect BJ Penn for this guy to throw something, BJ just smashed right through it.
Exactly. Straight up, not buying it. Garbrandt, we talked about him a lot since that shocking display of skill that we had no idea was there. We knew he could hit, and we knew he was young, and we knew there was a lot. You know, he had something very special, but not. Not that.
You
know? He did a lot. So let's say Dom is one of these guys just throwing stuff. It's kind of a bit of a random expressionist kind of artist.
Yeah.
Cody beat that with a similar approach. That's shocking.
Yeah.
But BJ's not going to beat this kid with a similar approach, being all wild and zany. BJ's going to beat this. So, bam. Get it? Put him down. Elbow. You know, nice and cut and dry.
Choke eventually. Yeah.
Because when this guy experiences that, he'll be like, you know, oh, shit. Like, who are some of the best people that name somebody in his mid-30s? He trained at Jackson.
Yeah.
So who are Carlos Condit gets on him on the ground. He's like, oh, my God. So this is what somebody who's been doing this for 15 years at the highest level really
or
feels
Diego
like.
Sanchez.
Or Diego Sanchez on the ground. He needs to that reminder. BJ, it's like, oh, shit. Oh, I ain't never experienced so. Oh, now he's. Oh, wait, my arm is trapped. And you know, that's what BJ needs to make him experience. You know, we're biased, right?
100%.
And people will accuse us of being biased, not understanding that that's not an accusation, that's the truth. We don't have some outlined job where we are required to say this or, you know, make sure we present it this way. Much like anybody in modern sort of television or the web, you're just going in partly to disagree Like, you watch somebody on CNN, I hate that guy. It's like, you know?
Yeah.
So sometimes you want, but we are humans who like fighters and some other ones. And Yair Rodriguez, would we be thrilled if in 3 years the dude was jumping, spinning, kicking people? I mean, amazing.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm still cheering for BJ Penn.
100%.
I'm cheering for BJ Penn. I'm cheering for BJ Penn because this kid, oh, so you lost to BJ Penn and then you went on a five-fight run.
I love it.
BJ loses, on the other hand.
Yeah, I know. I don't want that. And that's one of the things, you know, because I'm such a fan of the sport of mixed martial arts and specific fighters, because if I wasn't following these specific fighters, I don't know how if I would have followed the sport. It was these certain personalities.
Like Diaz and BJ.
Yeah, exactly. Sakuraba and, you know, Minotauro and Boss Rutten and Frank Shamrock. That led me to, it's like Frank Shamrock, American Kickboxing Academy. Oh, who else comes out of this thing?
Yeah.
And you start seeing all these guys. And then Minotauro was a part of Brazilian Top Team, which turned into American Top Team. And then you follow
all
these guys.
Yeah.
So you're seeing the web. And it's like, oh, BJ Penn, Novo Nhao. And then Novo Nhao, you have Shaolin Hibero. And you have, of course, Jose Aldo and all these guys. So it was, when you look at where the sport was and the influence from some of these guys, BJ Penn, the influence he's had, you know, has just been astronomical. And I know there seems to be a lot of haters out there for BJ. And I guess it's because of the way he's looked over his last number of fights. Because, you know, BJ Penn is a fighter's record, 16, 10, and 2.
Yeah.
But this is a 145-pound fighter.
Fought at heavyweight.
Who's fought at heavyweight. He's been in there with Rory McDonald and Nick Diaz.
Yeah, 200-pounders.
If you have seen these guys, they are enormous.
I did a thing with Chuck Liddell, Rory McDonald, and Forrest Griffin. Remember that?
We made
poutine.
The poutine thing.
It's on our YouTube. We just put my name in with those guys. It was really fun. We made poutine. And Chuck and Forrest, when Rory went away, they're like, how big? That kid's a welterweight? Like, they were discussing when behind his back, holy shit,
if you've seen how big Forrest Griffin and Chuck Liddell are, these guys are enormous individuals.
They were shocked how big Rory. That's a welterweight? Yeah. Jeez, I'm glad I'm not fighting today.
BJ Penn fights at 145 pounds.
This is 55, right?
This is 55.
Yeah.
Is this 55, Rodriguez?
Is it? That's a good question.
Because you just get confused.
Yeah, I mean.
This is 45.
No, it is 45. That's where he should 45. Be, right. Yeah, that's where he should be. Of course you get confused. There's 400 fighters.
Yeah.
There's 60 cards a year. One thing I never do, I never remember the number.
Yeah.
It's like UFC 190. What? I never do.
And with BJ, it's like heavyweight. Catchweight.
Yeah.
He's fought a welterweight
champion. lightweight.
Featherweight. I'm sure he's fought a catchweights in there, in there as well.
So. He was 190 something when he fought Lyoto Machida, who was 220. I think Lyoto Machida was 220 at the time.
Oh,
who, when he fought at light heavyweight, cut from 220.
Yeah.
So he was a 220-pound man. But yeah, BJ, see, this is not a fighting thing. This is just the world we live in right now thing. There's so much information, second to second, and we are, you know that phone? You've got a new phone?
Yeah.
I got a phone. This thing, in theory, it works for us. This thing works for us. It has. But we're working, it's working for Facebook. It's working for those companies that advertise, and you are the product. It's trying to make them, like, it's not doing work for us. It is getting us to do shit. And as that's happening all day long, novel experiences, pop-up windows, shit everywhere, there's so much new that people don't look back or spend any time to look at the old. And so, and disbelieve
things. We get to.
Yeah, and disbelieve things. You can hear the passion in our voice when we talk about BJ Penn. We are not employed by somebody to put over BJ Penn.
BJPenn.com is not giving us any cash.
Not giving us any money. We don't work. The UFC isn't saying, you guys need to sell this thing. We just love the guy. We just love his fights, and we're so appreciative and grateful for them. And we've developed a certain amount of expertise in this area. But people will disagree and deny that. No, this guy's always been overrated. It's just never really, I mean, all he did was beat. This is a two-division champion.
Yeah.
And if you looked at the time, what he was doing at the time was so advanced. Is he capable of being advanced for today? He is. It is possible. I'd love to see what's going
on. What do you expect? Him to spend time at Greg Jackson's.
I'd love to be watching what's
so how many opponents? It was supposed to be Dennis Seaver.
Yeah. That would have been great.
And then Seaver was out.
Yeah, and then it was Miller. Cole Miller.
Was there Cole Miller?
Which was a great opponent for
out.
Him. Yeah.
Ricardo Lamas. Remember? That was
right.
Booked in the Philippines.
Oh, they can't.
Out.
He was injured? That no, it was.
BJ had to pull out?
Yeah. Jeez.
So yeah. The fact that BJ wants to get back in there, all these fights that never materialized, he's rich, he could say, I'm not doing this. You know, it just was not meant to be. But the fact that he spent the time out of his comfort zone, left Hilo, went to Albuquerque to work with Pettis and Greg Jackson and Cowboy Cerrone and Diego.
Cub,
what do you think will be this new version of BJ Penn?
Oh, man. There's no way to know. Like, the truth, the difficult truth of all these, sometimes it's almost like, you know, Bruce Lee said, before he understood fighting, a punch was a punch and a kick was a kick. And then when he started to understand fighting, a punch was not a punch and a kick was not a kick. And then when he really learned, a punch was just a punch and a kick was just a kick. And I feel like we're passing through that middle zone where we everything is more. The more the layers we peel back, the more true information we reveal. And to ignore it becomes disrespectful to the information. But what we are discovering is truly anything is possible. And that is not a great response to your question, and that is not a great way to do our job according to the way it's always been done. It's like, well, BJ's gonna, he's got this coach and he's gonna work on this, he's gonna be this way. That's what our job was 5 years ago. That's how the job was done. But the truth is, BJ's capable of anything. Anything. He's capable of pulling out of those fights because he was fucking up. Or he's capable of, he was dead on, ready to go, everything was in shape, and he just had a couple of, you know, miscues. Old BJ at times would take off for days and go and enjoy himself, maybe party, eat, whatever he does. There's talk that BJ is so serious this time, but we've seen that many times before. So the truth is, if to old school our job, it's like, oh, man, we're going to see the best BJ that you've ever seen. And you say, I don't know, man, we've heard that. And we disagree. And then we leave people with that information to have that conversation out in the world. But that's bullshit. Mm-hmm. The truth is, BJ could be the greatest thing you've ever seen. He could be blowing through everybody. He could also be mediocre, and they're all going, oh, it's great. You're doing great, champ. You're doing great, legend. Guys like Diego and guys like that. Oh, man, it's such an honor to have you here. And then when they leave, they're going, oh, fuck.
Because
BJ is not cutting it.
You said there's a story about one of your guys being down in Brazil training with the Nogueiras.
Yeah.
And that Minotauro was getting beaten up all the time. Yeah. And it's like everybody felt bad.
And they won't tap him.
And they won't tap him because he's this, you know,
exactly.
Such a loved character.
Exactly.
And he's just somebody you want to be around.
Exactly. And BJ would be that to every single person at Greg Jackson's. I'm seeing all kinds of young fighters posed with BJ Penn that they go to Greg Jackson's, and he's going to make time for him because that's who he is. If you are in a gym and everybody, oh, you're doing great, champ. Oh, it's great. Oh, legends, great having you. And they're not tapping you or they're not hitting you hard because they respect you so much, he'll go out there and get murdered.
But won't he know that? BJ Penn's
Do you want to believe it? Like, do you want to accept it? It depends. Like, if you go in and you're winning every round of sparring, eventually, oh, man, I'm killing it. And somebody, even if somebody said, oh, you think these young guys are holding back on you? Nah, man, I'm in the zone. That your perception isn't
Cerrone
always real.
Cerrone, be honest to him.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
so
that's true.
It's like, that's true. And that's why I feel like this is a good moment for BJ Penn because he's had to deal with adversity. You know, like I said, the fights, so many fights didn't materialize. He's doing something that he doesn't always do, leaving his family to try to, again, get out of his comfort zone. The fact that he doesn't need to be doing these things. But when I look at a fighter, I look at, okay, because one of the things we've talked about is control of the things that you can control.
Right. Yeah.
So when you're going down the list of making sure that these things, well, I expect every single athlete to make sure that their energy systems are in tip-top form, that they can have the highest output
that
for 20.
Their diet is good. Their
rest
is good.
All of that stuff.
But BJ hasn't always done that.
Sure, but I still assume every time he gets in the cage, today will be the time.
Yeah.
So if that is the case, Where do you expect the growth from BJ Penn? Of all the areas where it's like, okay, did he get up at 5 in the morning and do his road work, if that's even a thing anymore? Did he do all these things?
I would hope so, right? But so, and then now we talked about bias earlier, where we are biased. What does bias do to you? Well, let's just pretend that you really want a great BJ because you just love them, right?
Everybody wants a great
nerds.
BJ.
No, oh, yeah, everybody would enjoy a great BJ. First thing in the morning or right before bed. Everybody would like a good Mr. Penn, but they wouldn't all. So let's just say you are such a fan, and this is your job, but it's not really your job. This is who you are. So you're looking at him. Man, BJ's in shape. He's been training hard. He's all of that stuff. Now, let's pretend that I don't like BJ Penn, which is a lie. I love a good BJ. If I don't like him, I'm like,
he's lazy.
He's always been lazy. Now, I've heard this a million times before. This is probably getting his ass kicked. Why did he pull out all those fights?
Yeah.
Like, which one of those is true? We have to watch the fight. That's why we watch him. I mean, and... fight picks, we've been over this many times, they're just dumb. But they're a function of television and they're a function of how people interact with it. Oh, make your picks.
Yeah.
And you know what's weird is on nights where, like, we just make them on the TV show because we're told to, and so we do, then that's people play with them in whatever way. I'll pick five. And somebody, like Artem Lobov, oh, yeah, he's going to look great. Oh, he does. Then the next one, my guy gets knocked out in the first round. Yeah. So I'm good. And then the next one wins, and the next one's, oh, Robin Black's killing it tonight. But I was totally wrong. This guy got slayed. I said he was going to win.
I picked Amanda Nunes over Ronda Rousey, and people were like, oh, my God, you totally saw that. And I was like, I picked Dominic Cruz to beat Cody Garbrandt. Like, that didn't work out.
Exactly. But the... if there was a way to know, you wouldn't enjoy watching it.
No, agreed.
And that's, you know, Streep maybe doesn't, like, when you watch a movie, you don't know where it's going. It's going to unfold in front of you. It's going to, you could be shocked or scared or laugh or cry. This is that, too.
That's why I hate spoilers. Like, when I haven't seen a fight and they tell me, it's like, I'm just expecting it. So, okay, is he going to get knocked out here? Yeah. So I'm even though I don't know the round, it could be the third round that he gets knocked out, but the whole way through the first, I'm waiting for the result to unfold. Yeah.
You know why we always say don't bet on fighting? One of the reasons is obviously, like, dude, you're going to lose a lot of the time, too, because and I will get the odd polite tweet or message. I mean, hey, you know, I hope it's okay. Who do you think's going to win this? And it's phrased in certain ways that I know they're betting, right? Like, I know it. And I'll just say, well, I don't know. This guy's been performing really well this way, and I heard. But the truth is, you know, boom, you're unconscious, right? So that is one reason. But the real reason I say to people, if you really love it, and some people love betting, so by all means, if that's your thing,
that's your jam, passion.
That's your rush, you know, it's like, then do it. Who am I to tell you what to enjoy? But if you like it the way I like it, it changes your perspective. I've watched Gabe, who does love to bet. That's his thing, man.
Yes,
and I've watched. We've seen him.
Oh yeah,
and
he doesn't seem to be enjoying the fights at all.
So he bets the over, say. So it means that after 1.5 rounds, this thing still has to be happening. And the guy who he likes, is a fan of, is pounding the other guy on the ground at like 2 minutes in. He's because there's still 4 minutes till the over, and he's about to lose money, and it's like. But that's the guy you were cheering for. Yeah, but I need him to win at like 8 or 9 minutes in. It's like, that just fucked your entire enjoyment. Yeah. But for some people, that is enjoyment. And we all like different things.
The stress and perspiration.
I enjoy drinking tequila on the beach. Some people love that rush and the tension, so they let them do it. But if you like fighting for the beauty and the artistry that Meryl doesn't see but is there, then don't bet on it because it will fuck with that.
BJ Penn makes his return to mixed martial arts this Sunday night in Phoenix, Arizona. But before we get to Sunday, this Friday, as we were teasing, TKO 37 going down at La Tohu in Montreal. It was supposed to be headlined by Canadian fighter Todd Stout, the Black Hulk, menacing-looking guy.
Yeah.
big, powerful. Yeah. 8-3, taking on UFC and Bellator veteran Michael Falcao. Apparently, there were some visa issues, so Falcao couldn't get into the country. The new main event, Stranja Gavrilovic, set to take on Pat Cote's guy, Joe Valet, who we called his fight at the last TKO show. We've called Stranja's fights a whack load of his fights. Pure action fighter. Yeah. This guy can take a punch, moving forward, blood and guts type of fighter. You're going to be thrilled. If you're a fight fan that wants to see people scrap, this is going to be the fight.
So in Valet's last fight, his opponent didn't look to engage him at all. Yeah. This will be the opposite.
Yes.
Like, he's going to be engaged by Stranja. And these guys fascinate me because, you know, there's thousands of different elements of how people fight and what they do and who they are. And a lot of it is those human elements. But the savage, you know, as Joe would say, cheers to Joe Rogan, man of the year or something? Joe's the best.
Leading man of the year, right.
Is that a thing?
I gave it to Dana.
No, he's not that one. He's like... I don't know, performer or something.
Personality
with Brendan Schaub.
Yeah, right.
I'm doing Brendan Schaub's podcast in a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
it's going to be fun.
Nice.
He's a cool dude. What was I saying before I said... savage. Yeah. So, oh, man, this guy's a savage. That's a Joe-ism. That's a Roganism. And it's used forever, and it will be used forever, as it should. But those guys, when we think about them, we can't really imagine that. That's what's so fascinating. Everybody, not everybody, but many people would like to think of themselves as that person.
Yeah.
You're the one to take the baby out of the burning house. You know, you're the guy who can lift. You know, when it comes down to it, you're that guy. But very few of us are. To walk truly towards the fire, you know, get in the true violence, you know, the mayhem, the damage, you know, searching for a way to dig deep, to be forced to dig deep. Those guys are rare. They're rare and they're unique. And we're watching fighting for many, many different reasons that Meryl Streep doesn't understand. And that's one of them.
I wasn't sure that Stranja was one of those guys until we called that fight in Fight for Pride.
Yeah.
Where he took a beating.
Fought a guy from Paris,
From France. And he just kept moving forward. So that was, it's like, okay, this guy's made of, of something different.
Yeah. And you get to show something, you're going to be asked to show something when you fight. And, you know, some of these young guys will show this beauty, this incredible skill, the artistry, the way things that you see in Olympic gymnastics and things that type of physical expression that's so rare. And other ones will be asked to show that. And most of us don't have that. And we may have it on one night. You know, on that night, you had it. And if you've ever experienced that, you know, I've had it once and not had it a few times. It's very painful to realize you don't have that. But it's very, you feel very, even if you lose, you feel very invigorated having it. Michael Johnson, I'm sorry, same team. Michael Johnson talked about after that Khabib fight. And some of his coaches and teammates who are friends of mine said he's so proud of that fight.
And like Joe Stevenson and BJ Penn?
Yeah, man. Joe Stevenson was almost in tears when he told us about that BJ Penn fight, you know, and what it meant to him and what he found out about himself and the experience that he lived in there. And Stranja finds out about himself, but it isn't an innate thing in most people. It's something that is developed, and it can be developed, you know. Matt Brown talked to us about if you think you are mentally tough, the day will come when you are not, unless you are training it. You're training it. So some of them, whatever Estrania's life and upbringing was, he's one of those guys. And, you know, Diego Sanchez became one of those. Well, he probably,
yeah, he was one of
you
those
know.
Guys.
And Moraga is one of,
yeah,
those guys,
one of those guys,
you know. And they're rare. They're rare. And that's one of the things that we're watching fighting for, is to see that rare glimpse into this unique aspect of humanity.
One of the other reasons that we're tuning in to see combat is we're here to see the future.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the reasons to tune in to TKO. In addition to the action fights that are on the card, you have Tony Laramie, who's making his professional mixed martial arts debut against the younger brother of Kevin Lee, who's in the UFC, Keith Lee. Also, you have these Jourdain brothers, Louis Jourdain and Charles Jourdain. the other Laramie brother mm-hmm. as well, TJ Laramie.
He's amazing.
He was amazing. And Justin Bruckman, former UCC TKO welterweight champion. The guy lost his title to George St. Pierre. One of his students, Derek Falk, a man-child, also on this card.
I've seen him move.
Yeah.
And I know I've told you this story before, but I'm literally, I was training in the gym, and I'm just like, what the fuck is that? Like, literally. I wasn't sparring at the time.
Yeah,
I had the round off or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And just, you know, this is over at Rory McDonald.
Yeah,
his
Parabellum.
Gym, Parabellum, which is, if you're a young fighter and you're anywhere near Ontario, that's where
place.
You have to go.
Yeah.
Rory's a great mind.
And, tons of UFC fighters, that's
Evan
where
Boris
they train.
Works there.
Yeah.
He's the best striking coach in Canada right now, in my belief. So I'm just doing whatever. What the fuck is that? And it was the smoothness. The smoothness of the way he was moving, and right away, that's not normal. That's not a thing you see all the time. And at the time, I was in gyms every day, and I've been in gyms all across North America at different mm-hmm. times. We've been in the best gyms and young new gym. What is that? Who's that kid?
Man,
Jeff. Yeah, he moves very smoothly, and I think he's 2-0, and I think they've lasted
1-0.
And it was only a few seconds. Yeah. There might have been an amateur fight. It was very similar. At some point, he will fight TJ Laramie, who you're also like, oh shit, what's going on over there? Each of those two, when we talk to Reno, who is a brilliant coach, he helped bring up Randa, and he's brought up many great.
Trained Sam Stout,
Coach Sam, and Reno's really.
Awesome. We love him.
There, so much as we're seeing these young fighters come up, there's going to be coaches come up where mm-hmm. now we're talking about John Crouch and now we're talking about all the top ones. They're going to get jockeyed out of position by some young coaches too, especially when some of these young guys don't make the mistake of thinking they have to leave their coach and go train at Greg Jackson's. Greg Jackson's a genius. By all means, go train there for a week or 2 weeks, but you stay with your coach because they're changing too. They're changing the games. So, but Reno will tell you, you don't understand, TJ is the thing. Justin will, and others will be like, you haven't seen Manchild. The thing is, they're both real.
Yeah,
they're
real.
Both, and there's others. And it's important to recognize that you must keep going. So TJ, Tony, Derek Falk, the Jourdain brothers,
there's just too
Lindsay.
Many. Yeah, yeah.
If any of them think that they're something very special, they're going to fucking lose within a year, year and a half. The only way to make this come true and get up there and then be a top 10 and then be, is continued growth, because they're all getting better.
Yeah.
And if you stall at any time and not through new, just work. Work. It's just got to be work. And if any of them start believing, and I don't think any of them will, the Laramies will not.
Yeah.
These kids understand the future.
Justin Bruckman is just too good of a coach, too smart of an individual.
Yeah. So these are, you're going to hear about all of these fighters in the future. But
Chase is telling us we got to wrap it up.
Little Tony, can't wait to see. Mark Hominick said that Tony was all over him.
All over him. If you guys are in Montreal, or even if you aren't, make your way to Montreal this weekend. Robin and I will be there calling all the action at TKO 37.
Live on Fight Network.
And we're making our trek back to Toronto Sunday, the prelims, if you're in Canada, for UFC Fight Night here. And then, of course, we're going to be watching BJ Penn maybe kick some ass against Yair Rodriguez. He's Chase Kaiser running the board. I don't see Jeff Chan here. My main man, Robin Black. Go vote for him for the Fighters Only MMA Awards Analyst of the Year. I'm John Ramdeen. We'll see you guys on Monday.